Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A Raleigh middle school placed on a code red lockdown after reports of a weapon on campus. We are live at the school with the law enforcement and school response.
Plus, a U-Haul driver faces a list of charges after crashing into a security barrier near the White House. What we've learned about the investigation.
And the Carolina Hurricanes trying to keep their playoff hopes alive. The Panthers took game three in Florida. Game four will be a win or go home for the Canes. We begin with breaking news in Raleigh. River Oaks Middle School has been under a code red lockdown for about 2 hours now. Thanks for joining us. I'm Renee Chu.
And good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan. The school says all the students are safe. This lockdown stems from a report that a student had a weapon. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan is live outside the school on New Bern Avenue. What does that scene look like now, Chelsea?
Drastically different, Jeff, than when we first arrived here around 10:30. There was about 15 Raleigh police officers behind me here at the school on New Bern Avenue. As you can see now, most of the police are gone. Very little police presence. So the school did put out a message around 8:45 that a student reported to administrators that another student had a weapon. The school immediately called the police and went on that code red lockdown, which means that students are unable to leave their classrooms. No one can enter or exit the building. The school, according to Raleigh police, is still being searched, though, at this time for a weapon. Raleigh police actually told me no one has been injured and that the school said that police did locate and isolated several students who were allegedly passing a weapon among each other. We should mention that River Oaks Middle School, according to the website, serves at-risk students who are not experiencing adequate academic success. Dennis Calix has a 12-year-old inside. He rushed to the school after getting that message this morning.
It's scary. I immediately just got out of my car, started asking people around, and nobody knows anything.
And you can see many parents here lined up at the door, some of the folks that we talked to that are concerned about their students inside. However, the school is not releasing students at this time. All updates will be posted on their website. Jeff.
We'll wait to get some of those updates from you. Chelsea Donovan live on New Bern Avenue in Raleigh. Thank you.
New rules for visitors at Wake County Public Schools are in the works. Today, the Board of Education's Policy Committee will discuss a proposal aimed at keeping kids safe. It clarifies the rules for anyone visiting schools, including employees. Those include requiring ID, a background check, and a staff chaperone while a visitor is in a school building. The full school board will need to sign off on the new policy before it takes effect. Governor Cooper starts a tour of local schools today after declaring a state of emergency for North Carolina's public education system. The governor says Republican-backed bills to expand vouchers for private schools will lead to less funding and fewer teachers in public schools.
A 19-year-old Missouri man faces numerous charges for crashing a U-Haul into security barriers near the White House. Sai Varshith Kandula was quickly arrested after that incident. Alexandria Hoff reports agents are now trying to determine his motive.
Tense times outside the White House Monday night when a 20-foot-long U-Haul truck suddenly slammed into the barricades protecting the executive mansion. Fearing the worst and worried about the potential for terrorism, the Secret Service sprang into action.
And of course, you never know what's in a big truck like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
true.
Just think back to Oklahoma City.
It's early in the investigation, but authorities think the driver crashed the truck intentionally. They've arrested 19-year-old Sai Varshith Kandula from Missouri. Not much is known about him at this point, but he's now facing serious charges, including assault with a dangerous weapon and threatening to kill or inflict harm on a president, vice president, or family member.
This is approximately, I'd say, 1, 2, 3 blocks away. Look how far they had to evacuate.
The scary scene caused all kinds of chaos and confusion and forced authorities to close surrounding streets and evacuate several nearby hotels.
It's a little crazy. Got the whole family in town for graduation and get evacuated from the hotel and don't really have too many options right now, so we're trying to hang tight.
Authorities say the driver was not armed and no firearms were found in the truck, but cameras caught police taking a Nazi flag into custody as evidence.
Bomb technicians searched that truck but didn't find explosives or any incendiary devices. The nearby Hay Adams Hotel was evacuated while authorities made sure it was safe. Guests and employees were allowed to return a short time later.
New this noon, we now know the name of a man who was hit and killed by a car as he was crossing a street. Durham police say 40-year-old Sean McDaniel died from his injuries. This happened around 9 p.m. on Fayetteville Street near East Cornwallis Road. Police say McDaniel was crossing Fayetteville Street when he was hit by a Camaro. Officers say the driver had the green light at the time and stayed on scene. No word on any charges. We've also learned the name of a man who died in Cumberland County after a crash involving an auto cycle, which is a motorcycle with three wheels. Troopers say 54-year-old Walter Ray ran off Sisk Culbreth Road last night, overcorrected, then ran off the road in the other direction. Troopers say Ray then hit a tree and went down a hill into a creek. They believe he had been drinking and was speeding. Troopers say he was not wearing a seatbelt nor an approved helmet.
New numbers this morning show another strong month for housing in the U.S. WRL's Brian Schrader has a look at that data and what the future might hold for home prices here, Brian.
Jeff, we got these numbers just a couple of hours ago, and they show that April was a surprisingly strong month for new home sales in the U.S. Purchases of new single-family homes were up more than 4% from March, and it was the highest level since March of 2022. Meanwhile, the median price around the country for new homes was almost $421,000, and that is down more than 8% from a year earlier. Now, this report did not specifically include figures for our area, but we have seen prices dropping a little bit in the Triangle this year. Cindy Burns of the Durham Area Realtors Association expects strong demand to support prices in the area.
I do not see the prices going up dramatically, but I do see the prices staying strong with a strong current interest.
Burns also says that even with higher interest rates, she's still seeing multiple offers for houses that are reasonably priced. And she says buyers are still wrapping their minds around those higher interest rates. This morning, the average 30-year fixed mortgage rate was about 7%. Experts say it's unlikely the Fed will raise rates at its meeting next month, Jeff.
That's a little bit of good news there with those high rates. Brian, thank you. There is still no new deal on raising the U.S. debt ceiling. We are now just 9 days away from a potential default that could strike up major economic concerns for everyone. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell is scheduled to speak before the new Democrat coalition's member lunch today. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy said yesterday's negotiations with President Biden were productive, but they didn't reach an agreement. House Democrats say they plan to reach out for votes across the aisle in hopes of forcing a vote to raise the debt ceiling.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, a new warning from the U.S. Surgeon General this afternoon. They say we are in the middle of a youth mental health crisis because of social media. They say social media presents a profound risk of harm for kids. They say 95% of kids ages 13 to 17 use social media. 40% ages 8 to 12 are using the platforms as well. Studies found correlations between social media use and depression and anxiety, as well as poor sleep, online harassment, and low self-esteem, especially in young girls. Now, this advisory comes as a growing number of states are aiming to tighten regulations on social media platforms, including efforts in Montana to ban TikTok. Michelle, thanks. A four-year-old boy who was dropped over a border barrier between Mexico and California is recovering from injuries. The U.S. Customs and Border Protection released this video of the incident. It shows someone lowering the child before dropping him from the barrier. Then two more people climb over the barrier. Agents and EMS who rushed to the scene to help the child reportedly came under gunfire. They all escaped. Border Patrol officials have launched an investigation. Carrie Lake has lost the final court battle in a bid to overturn election results for Arizona's governor's race. A Maricopa County judge ruled that Lake's attorneys failed to show clear and convincing evidence of misconduct by elections officials. He confirmed that Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs is the winner of that election. Lake lost last year's race by 17,000 votes.
Win or lose, tomorrow the Carolina Hurricanes will be coming home. Question is, will they have another game to play after losing in Florida last night? Another loss will end their season. They dropped the third straight game to the Panthers. Florida scored the only goal of the game last night, taking game three with a 1-0 win. It was the third straight single goal win for the Panthers in the series. Two of them went to overtime. The Canes need to win game four to keep this series alive. Only four teams in NHL history have ever come back from a 3-0 deficit to win a playoff series.
Next at noon, this is Next Level Mean Girl Stuff. A 14-year-old Maryland girl charged with ordering a hit on one of her classmates. Why it didn't work out as planned.
Also, an alligator attack in Florida. What a man was doing when a 10-foot gator took his arm, and why he says he's grateful to be alive.
Plus, Memorial Day travel could be the busiest in 20 years. At 12:30, how the airline industry is preparing for the rush. Elizabeth.
And a live look at late gas, and the boats are out. People are going to be enjoying a lovely afternoon. It'll be good weather for that for the next several days. But over the weekend, we're back to a chance of rain. I'll walk you through Futurecast coming up.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
A man who lost his arm during an alligator attack this weekend says he is grateful to be alive. 23-year-old Jordan Rivera says he was at a local bar in Port Charlotte, Florida. The line for the men's room was long, so he waded out back to the pond. He says the next time he opened his eyes, he was in a hospital bed with a missing arm.
Something happened where I either tripped or like something, the ground below me kind of just went down and I ended up in the water. And that's literally the last thing I remember.
It took Fish and Wildlife workers hours to wrangle the 10-foot alligator. People there say they've seen it before. One man said he thinks it's been around for about the past 20 years.
A 14-year-old girl is charged with planning a hit squad attack. Prosecutors say she allegedly ordered three other boys to murder another teen on a Maryland school bus. You're looking at images from the surveillance camera on the school bus. It shows a boy trying to shoot another teen while two accomplices hold the victim down. The victim is alive because the gun jammed repeatedly. In court, the girl's family begged for her release from home detention. The judge refused.
We hear parents say, my child's a good child. That they weren't involved. I can't believe it, but believe it. It happens. Unfortunately, far too often in our communities, young people are making adult decisions that have adult consequences.
Two of the three teen boys seen on video have also been arrested. The third boy, the one holding the gun, has not yet been found. The gun has also not yet been recovered.
Startling news from a study on global wildlife. Nearly half of the planet's species are in population decline. As you see, rapid population decline for nearly half of all species is determined by researchers who analyzed more than 70,000 species from across the globe, from mammals to insects. They found 48% are seeing their population shrink. Declines tend to be concentrated in the tropics because animals there are typically more sensitive to changes in their environment. The main factors driving this extinction crisis are destruction of landscapes and climate change. Two new lionesses joined the Whipsnade Zoo outside London. Sisters Waka and Winta moved to the Conservation Zoo earlier this month as part of the European Endangered Breeding Program. Their arrival marks the beginning of an effort to start a new pride of lions at the UK's largest zoo. They will be joined next month by an 18-month-old male named Malik from a zoo in Germany.
The Colorado River system provides water to seven states, some of which grow critical crops that benefit the rest of the nation. But an ongoing drought is causing water levels to plummet. Jackie Ibanez explains how a new multi-state deal could provide temporary relief.
Years of persistent drought continue decimating water levels across the mighty Colorado River and its tributaries, triggering a floodgate of financial and economic concerns, with roughly 40 million people across seven states relying on that water for drinking, hydroelectricity, farming, and recreation. Water from the Colorado River also flows into Lake Powell and Lake Mead, reservoirs used by Arizona, California, and Nevada. Climate change and overuse have run them nearly dry.
The Colorado River has been in a state of near continuous drought for the last 23 years.
But to help prevent the crisis from worsening, lawmakers in those three states said Monday they'd be willing to scale back how much water they use in exchange for federal funds. The potential deal could cost $1.2 billion, but it's designed to save 3 million acre-feet of water through 2026. 1 acre-foot of water is equal to nearly 326,000 gallons.
It is clearly an critically important stopgap as we're dealing with a near Armageddon state of affairs.
The federal money would be paid to cities, Native American tribes, and farmers in Arizona, California, and Nevada for using less water.
Agriculture is the biggest user and probably will bear, gallon for gallon, the biggest cuts.
That was Jackie Ibanez reporting. The Department of Interior says it will begin reviewing the plan so it can be finalized. Right now, we have a lot of cloud cover out there.
Yeah, just a bit. And Elizabeth Gardner's over in the WRO Severe Weather Center. We have another look from Durham there. It's game on, huh?
It is already. Some of our local teams are playing a little later this afternoon. But this is Virginia Tech and Boston College, the ACC College Baseball Championships. And it's a nice afternoon out there for this. It looks a little bit cloudy, but I was out a little while ago. And the temperature is pleasantly cool. Our humidity is low. And it's not going to rain today. So, enjoy. It's kind of fun to have something to show here at the DBAP during our noon newscast. 73 is our current temperature and our dew points at 52. And again, dew points in the 50s this time of year, very comfortable. We'll see temperatures climbing by mid to late afternoon into the upper 70s, which will be just a touch cooler than it was yesterday. Later on this afternoon at 3 o'clock, UNC plays Georgia Tech. Temperature at that point, again, around 77, 78 degrees on through the afternoon. And then the game after that at 7 o'clock is NC State versus Duke. At 7 o'clock, 71. And that game's going to be a bit cooler after sunset. Temperatures will start to dip into the 60s. But again, some cloud cover, but no rain out there. The other thing you'll notice outside this afternoon is it's a little bit breezy. Our wind is coming out of the northeast, and that's what's keeping our temperatures cooler. Our steady wind is here in the blue box on the left. So we're steady at 13 out of the northeast in Durham and Raleigh, 13 Fayetteville, 9 in Clinton, 14 in Rocky Mount. The white box is our gust. So we're gusting to 23 in Rocky Mount, gusting to 16 in Clinton, and 19 right around the Triangle area. So it's a little breezy out there. It's not strong enough to cause any real problems. It's not going to cause any damage, but you'll just notice it's breezy this afternoon as we continue to see gusts at around 20 to 25 miles per hour. Temperature a little cooler in Roxborough at 68. Everybody else mainly in the low to mid 70s right now. We'll see 78 in Raleigh and Durham and 81 for the high this afternoon in Fayetteville. So a nice afternoon to get outside. We do have some cloud cover like we saw yesterday. This is kind of an interesting feature to show you here at the satellite. We have wind coming out of the northeast. You can almost see those clouds moving across eastern North Carolina. We have some cumulus clouds that are starting to develop as that cool air moves over the warm land. And then in the mid-levels of the atmosphere, a system down along the Gulf Coast is pushing in some clouds from the southwest. So a lot of things happening over us right now, but bringing us some cloud cover, certainly. And of course, those cooler temperatures and some breezy conditions. We stay nice and low with those dew points, making it feel comfortable all the way into Saturday. And our temperatures remain below normal. 82 is our normal high. We did drop Saturday's high from yesterday. It was in the 70s. Dropped it to 68 because we do have a good chance for rain on Saturday. No 90-degree days so far at RDU. The average for May is 2. And we usually are seeing at least one of those by May 11th. We haven't seen any yet. It looks like we probably won't see any through all the way through the end of this month. Our Memorial Day weekend is trending wetter. Saturday, 70% chance. It's a 40% chance on Sunday and a 20% chance on Monday. You can see mostly we'll see rain on Saturday, and then it could be some scattered storms on Sunday and Monday. But coming up in just a little bit, I'll walk you all the way through Saturday, Sunday, and Monday with Futurecast so we can try to start planning around it for our Memorial Day weekend.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we have an update to a story that we brought you at the top of this newscast. River Oaks Middle School was under a code red lockdown for reports of a student with a weapon on campus. They are now under a code yellow lockdown. All students are safe, and police are saying they found an airsoft pellet gun. A student was reported to administrators that another student had a weapon. That's when they called police and went into lockdown. Police are now confirming all students are safe, and they found that airsoft pellet gun. They say they are going to return to code green very shortly. And another update, this one in Durham, this just into the newsroom. We are learning that CC Spalding Elementary School is in secure status right now. We got this from the school minutes ago. That means that no one can leave or enter the building due to a possible threat. That is all the information we have right now. We do have a crew on the way. As soon as we learn anything, we'll bring you updates from the Live Center.
We'll be following all those developments on those stories throughout our newscast. Thieves continue to target Hyundai and Kia vehicles nationwide. At 5:30, the three police departments in the Triangle working to combat these thefts and give vehicle owners peace of mind.
Plus at 6, WRL investigates a stunning prediction about how much your power bill may go up to pay for cleaner and more reliable energy. Still ahead this noon, some customers will soon be able to purchase an adult beverage with the wave of their hand. The company testing technology that could let you keep your ID and wallet in your pocket.
Plus, United Airlines is adding a new convenience for some passengers, the feature that will help keep you moving seamlessly to your destination.
The world's most expensive ice cream will cost you thousands of dollars for a single serving. And more Americans say their finances are in worse shape now than they were a year ago. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
The share of Americans who say they're worse off financially now than a year ago has soared. 35% of U.S. adults say their finances are in worse shape now than a year ago. This is according to a survey from the Federal Reserve. That's up from 20% in the previous survey, and it's also the highest level on record in the almost 10 years that the Fed has asked the question. The decline in financial well-being was widespread. Almost every racial, income, and education group registered a drop. The numbers show the impact of higher prices from inflation and rising credit card debt. Walmart is getting into the telehealth market for pets. The retailer is teaming up with the veterinary telehealth provider Pop. Walmart Plus members can get a free year of access to virtual veterinarians through the partnership. Plus, subscribers have until November 19th to opt into the offer. It will give them access to the vets through either video or text. The deal with Pop helps Walmart better compete with Amazon's Prime program as the retailers battle for subscribers. A Japanese dessert has set the record for the world's most expensive ice cream. It's called Byakuya. It's from Japanese ice cream maker Salato. The treat is made with rare white truffles from Italy, two types of cheeses, and an edible gold leaf. It even uses a little paste-like ingredient that comes from the sake making process. Byakuya is rich in taste and rich in price. A single serving of the ice cream is going for $6,380. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Forget about pulling out your ID. Amazon wants you to buy alcohol just by swiping your palm. The Amazon One palm scanning payment system now includes an age verification feature. Users can link their government-issued ID to their palm signature to prove they're at least 21 years old. The device will also show a selfie to the salesperson for matching purposes. Amazon One is available at Amazon Go stores and select Whole Foods. The age verification feature is expected to be available at more venues in the next few months.
Some iPhone users can now get real-time flight information. United Airlines just unveiled its new live activity system for the iPhone 14 Pro and 14 Pro Max. Passengers can get real-time access to their boarding pass, gate, and seat number. It even has a countdown clock to departure time. Other available information includes on-time status and baggage carousel status. Venmo is launching accounts for teen users, joining Cash App and other financial service players catering to young people. Parents and guardians will be able to open accounts for their kids ages 13 to 17 to send and receive money. They'll also get debit cards linked to their accounts. Parents will be able to track their kids' transactions and manage privacy settings. The new accounts will start rolling out next month.
Internet access isn't always so accessible for many people across North Carolina, but that could be changing. How local, state, and federal leaders are partnering to close the digital divide in our state.
And AAA says airline travel will really take off this Memorial Day weekend. We'll let you know how to avoid travel headaches as airlines ramp up to meet the high demand. And as we head to break, here's a look at your winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Video lottery terminals could be coming to a bar or restaurant near you. WRAL's Naya Harden explains the new bill that could bring thousands of the games to the state.
The bill, if passed, could raise millions of dollars for people in education. The House Commerce Committee will consider House Bill 512 today. It would make video gaming terminals or video lottery terminals legal. The money raised would create a forgivable loan program for community college students and fund initiatives at historically black colleges and universities, also known as HBCUs. It's one of at least two bills on gambling being considered this week. The other involves sports betting. Legal gambling continues to move closer to North Carolina. A new casino just opened last week in Virginia along the North Carolina border, and other states allow sports wagering. Video gaming terminals will be considered today, this afternoon. WRAL will be there. We'll have updates for you in our later newscast. Nia Harden, WRAL News in Raleigh.
Students in Durham Public Schools are about to get a new pathway to success. Today, the school system plans to announce a new partnership with Durham Tech. The goal is to get at least 25% of students to complete a Durham Tech workforce credential or associate degree before they even graduate high school. Durham Tech instructors will be placed in high school classrooms starting next school year with the hope of ensuring 500 students can graduate with these credentials each year.
It's time to close the digital divide in North Carolina. That's the focus of state and federal leaders today. WRAL's Destiny Patterson is live in downtown Raleigh, where they're discussing ways to reach that goal. Destiny.
Well, Renee, inside this building are several government and industry leaders. I actually just talked to the governor about the digital divide and ways to address that. The state has received more than $6 million to support internet connection throughout the state. It's part of a federal Internet for All initiative. According to a state agency, more than 1 million North Carolina households do not have access to high-speed internet, cannot afford it, or don't have the necessary skills. That money is currently being used to work on a five-year action plan to address that. In doing so, the state is considering factors like barriers to digital equity and public input. Now, sometime next month, the federal government will be announcing more funds for the state. The state will be receiving a minimum of $100 million to better address this issue. And while more work does need to be done, North Carolina is considered to be ahead of the curve.
Destiny Patterson reporting on the digital divide in downtown Raleigh. Thank you.
There's a new place to paint in downtown Raleigh. You Be Paintin' and Sippin' offers drop-in painting and paint parties. Air Force veteran and mom Juanita Cotton just opened the shop on Fayetteville Street. She can draw anything you want, cartoons, celebrities, even your pet. All you have to do is paint.
And I want this space to be a non-judgmental space where people can come and leave all their problems out the door, whether it be from work, relationships, or just any kind of stress. They can come here and just connect and just let their hair down and have a really good time.
Artists can walk in during business hours or request a time slot on her website. You'll find a link on WRAL.com in the Out and About section.
Can you believe it? Memorial Day weekend is coming up this weekend, and airports nationwide are bracing for the biggest travel days they've seen in nearly two decades, including a live look here at RDU International Airport. Maggie Vespa explains how the airline industry is preparing for the rush of travelers and what you can do to ensure that your holiday travel goes without too many bumps.
With the official kickoff to the summer travel season here, airports across the country are already packed with travelers.
We almost missed a flight. We waited in line at Clear for over an hour. It's probably some of the worst domestic travel I've ever experienced.
AAA predicts this Memorial Day weekend will see the strongest air travel numbers since 2005. The TSA expects 10 million people to travel through airports, up 11% from last year.
We do expect a very busy summer. We're excited about it. And we're working very hard to make sure that we have a successful summer season.
Airlines have been scrambling for months to keep up with anticipated demand. All of them have been staffing up, with American Airlines and Delta recently reaching deals with their pilots. The TSA says it's already seeing improved recruiting and employee retention rates ahead of a July 1st pay increase. All industry efforts to avoid the travel nightmares seen last summer. 2022 Memorial Day mayhem caused by flight delays and cancellations due to bad weather and serious staffing issues.
We are staffed up now, more than we were prior to the pandemic, and we are at our highest level since in the last two decades.
In a move to help get passengers to their gates more quickly, TSA will now allow teens ages 13 to 17 to go through pre-check with an enrolled parent or guardian traveling on the same reservation, though they must have the pre-check indicator on their ticket.
That was Maggie Vespa reporting. You can complete your TSA pre-check application online in less than 5 minutes for under $100, and it's good for 5 years. The award-winning chef behind the famous food at the Angus Barn has died. How people are remembering Chef Walter Royal.
Plus, where and why investigators are renewing their search for a British girl who vanished 16 years ago.
Some people may not know the man, but if you've ever eaten at the Angus Barn, he was the man behind many meals prepared there.
And the winner is Chef Royal.
Chef Walter Royal was one of North Carolina's first celebrity chefs, winning numerous accolades, including Iron Chef of America in 2006. He died recently. Royal was the executive chef at Angus Barn for 28 years. The restaurant's co-owner, Steve Tannhauser, says Royal was more than a friend. He was family.
I need to thank his Alabama family in advance for sharing him with us and letting him have us all these years. I know they will miss him. I know we will miss him.
In 1997, Chef Royal was declared the Restaurant Guild International's first African-American five-star chef of the year. Chef Royal was 67 years old.
A renewed search is underway right now for a missing British girl named Madeline McCann. She was a three-year-old at the time and vanished in southern Portugal. That was 2007. She was on vacation with her parents. Now, based on a new tip, investigators from three countries are combing through the woods around a remote reservoir about 31 miles from where she was last seen. Prince Harry loses a legal challenge over paying for private police protection for him and his family when in the UK. When Harry and his family relocated to North America, they lost their entitlement to publicly funded police protection. The Duke first offered to pay personally for UK police protection in January of 2020. That offer was rejected by a committee that decides protection for royals and public figures. Harry's legal team argues they did not have the power to make the decision in his case.
We have some sad news from the Museum of Life and Science in Durham. Yona, a 14-year-old black bear who lived there, died on Friday. Veterinarians had to euthanize Yona. They say it was during a 10-hour surgery and there were no other options. Yona was having a lot of medical issues. The museum took her to NC State, where a group of more than 50 people tried to help Yona. She's been part of the museum since 2010 and leaves behind Mimi, Gus, and Little Bear at the museum. Say goodbye to tossing and turning in bed. The one thing researchers say you can do to get a better night's sleep.
Well, now that it's almost time for summer fun, should you update your skincare routine? Key advice to help you protect your skin from harmful rays.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center. Earlier in the newscast, we reported that C.C. Spaulding Elementary School in Durham was under secure status for reports of a possible threat. We've just learned from the school there is no longer a threat. This is a live look at the scene here. You can see Durham police are there. We obviously have a crew there as well. But we've just learned minutes ago there is no longer a threat. There was an issue with a parent is what we are hearing from police. So they are no longer in secure status at C.C. Spaulding Elementary this afternoon.
A good update there, Michelle. Thank you. Imagine you're lying in bed trying to fall asleep, but you keep looking at the time, hoping you'll get enough rest. It's a scenario we've probably all experienced. New research is offering up a simple trick that could help you get a better night's sleep, especially if you suffer from insomnia. Jackie Abanez takes a closer look.
For many of us, sleep is sacred. But whether you get a full 8 hours or not, most of us always want a little more. So how could we get it? The secret may lie in ditching our clocks in the bedroom. According to a new study from researchers at Indiana University, paying attention to the time as we're trying to fall asleep can worsen the symptoms of insomnia and increase the likelihood someone uses sleeping pills, gummies, or other remedies to get some shut-eye.
Overall, time monitoring behavior seems to affect the use of sleep aids primarily because it exacerbates insomnia.
People with insomnia usually have a harder time falling asleep, staying asleep, or not feeling well rested after waking up in the morning. The National Institutes of Health says the disorder can impact your concentration and memory. Chronic insomnia can even increase your risk for diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, and cancer. But if you're like many people who stress over how long it'll take to fall asleep or when you'll need to get up, Spencer Dawson of Indiana University says the solution could be a simple one.
Turning the alarm clock around, covering it, putting it under the bed, putting any cell phones or smartwatches or regular watches out of sight, out of reach.
That was Jackie Ibanez reporting. Dawson also recommends people with chronic insomnia work with a psychologist trained in cognitive behavioral therapy, also known as CBT.
As the seasons change, so should your skincare routine. Dermatologists say you should consider different moisturizers because skin changes in the summer. If you use a rich moisture in the warmer months, you may get tiny white cysts on your skin. You can use a good foaming cleanser to take care of that, as well as sunscreens. The best sunscreens contain titanium or zinc as a base to them. Tis the season now with some of the sun out today.
Yeah, I like to use a lightweight moisturizer with SPF, so you get, you know, both in one product, right? Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center, and still wear the sunscreen even when it's cloudy out, right, Elizabeth?
Yeah, so we just have some thin clouds out there right now, so there's plenty of sunshine that's shining through. As a matter of fact, I was thinking we probably see some shadows, but the sun is so, you know, high overhead, not seeing a whole lot of shadows out there right now. I like this particular camera because you can see the tree that's right here in the foreground. And we are looking at winds gusting in the Triangle area right now to about 20 miles an hour. We're going to continue to see that. 20 mile per hour winds are not anything that's going to toss your trash cans around or cause any damage, but you'll notice, especially walking down Fayetteville Street, it is breezy out there. The flags are moving around, the trees are moving around, and that wind is coming out of the northeast, so it's bringing cooler air in, so our temperatures will be cooler than normal for highs all the way through the end of the week. We continue to have this low pressure system that we saw in the same position yesterday, and in the mid-levels of the atmosphere, we're seeing the clouds being pushed from that low down to our south up across North Carolina. So that's where a lot of our clouds are coming from today. Very similar setup to what we saw yesterday. We want to take a look at what's happening, of course, over the weekend. We know there's a good chance for rain mainly on Saturday. So we continue trending the same way. Saturday looks the wettest. We have isolated storms in the forecast for Sunday and Monday. Which of those 2 days looks wettest is still really up in the air. We'll have a lot more runs of the computer models so to look at between now and Saturday. So we'll continue to fine tune the forecast for you. Certainly, it is trending cooler and wetter. We dropped the high temperature for Saturday into the upper 60s because the northeasterly wind will be in place and we're going to see the rain rolling in. This is the newest run of our computer model, and it's a little slower bringing the rain in on Friday. This is Friday at 6 p.m. The model that run that I showed earlier this morning had rain sitting over our part of North Carolina at 6 p.m. So that's a bit of good news for people who are going to be traveling on Friday. We do see that rain pushing in by 6 a.m. on Saturday, but a lot of that is trending back to the west. Look at where the heaviest rain is at 5 o'clock, back across the western part of the state, up around Boone towards Charlotte, and it's a little bit lighter from the Triangle area eastward, and it continues to lighten up a little bit as we get into Sunday morning. Sunday, an isolated shower or thunderstorm. You can see just a little green showing up. And then again on Monday, there's 8 a.m., and then here's 5, 6 o'clock. Again, it looks like an afternoon or evening shower or thunderstorm. Still the best chance of rain likely to be Saturday. We have a 70% chance. That chance decreases overnight. A 40% chance on Sunday, a 20% chance on Monday. It may be that, you know, we'll even those up with 30% chance Sunday and Monday with the new runs of the computer models coming in. Because this is a coastal low, some of the heaviest rain is likely to be closer to the coast. Parts of our viewing area could see 1 to 2 inches. The western part of the viewing area could see slightly less. But again, that new run of the model brings more of the rain back to the west. So again, we'll be making adjustments as the new information continues to come in. Highs will be in the 70s through Friday, a little cooler on Saturday at 68. And then with more sunshine Sunday and Monday, we'll see temperatures
temperatures climbing, potentially 80 degrees by Monday.
Thanks, Elizabeth. A guitar that was once smashed to pieces by a musician grabs a smashing price at auction. The price one fan was willing to pay for a piece of grunge history.
First, here's a look at your winning Powerball numbers. We have 9, 38, 48, 52, 68, and the Powerball is 25. Power Play is 4. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. River Oaks Middle School in Raleigh is no longer on lockdown after authorities found a pellet gun. The school went on code red for more than an hour after a student told staff that someone had a weapon. Police in the Wake County Public School System say they will keep conducting an investigation into this incident.
We now know the name of a man who was hit and killed by a car as he was crossing a street in Durham. Police there say 40-year-old Sean McDaniel died from his injuries. It happened around 9 o'clock last night on Fayetteville Street near East Cornwallis Road. Police say McDaniel was crossing Fayetteville Street when he was hit by a Camaro. Officers say the driver had the green light at the time of the crash and stayed on that scene.
Authorities arrested a 19-year-old after they say he crashed into barriers near the White House. The driver made threatening statements about the White House after the incident last night. Investigators believe he was seeking to harm the president. Officials did seize a Nazi flag from the scene.
WhatsApp is rolling out a long-requested new feature, message editing. Users will now be able to edit messages as long as it's within 15 minutes of sending them. The new message will be shown in the chat with an edited label without showing the edit history. WhatsApp users can access the edit feature by long pressing on a message and typing. The new feature is similar to an upgrade by Apple's iMessage last fall. An iconic relic of grunge music pulled in more than $500,000 at auction. A guitar that was smashed by late musician Kurt Cobain sold for $596,000. The guitar was trashed by Cobain during the making of his band's Nirvana Nevermind album. That was in the early 1990s. The guitar has big gouges out of the wood, scratches, and chips. It is signed by the band with various misspellings as well, and it is not operational.
A classic is reintroduced to audiences later this week with a live-action remake of The Little Mermaid. It is time to go under the sea with the new version of The Little Mermaid, not a cartoon this time. Halle Bailey stars as Ariel, Awkwafina is Scuttle, Jacob Tremblay is Flounder, and David Diggs stars as Sebastian. Bailey says it means a lot to know the impact the film can have in representation.
I just think of the princesses that I had, like Brandy's version of Cinderella and Anika Rose as Princess Tiana. Like, she was absolutely iconic in that role. And it means so much to be able to see yourself on a big screen, to see somebody who has the color of your skin and know that you are worthy. You deserve to be in big spaces like this and take up spaces.
My 9-year-old says she cannot wait to go see it. Tickets for Disney's The Little Mermaid are on sale now. See it in theaters this Friday.
Our pet of the day is a sweet senior beagle from Triangle Beagle Rescue. Finn is looking for a home to call his own. He has great indoor manners, house and crate trained, still has some pep in his step, and is a world-class snuggler. Gets along great with other dogs, would do best in a home with no small children. His favorite place is the backyard, enjoying the scents. To learn more about adopting Finn, visit trybeagles.org.
Love his expression.
Isn't it great?
NBC News Daily is coming up next.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.